And we're holding Samachvavam and Bay 7 lines from the bottom. We left off yesterday discussing the question. We had a case where a person tells two people to write and give the get, and instead of doing it themselves, they delegated it to a sofer to write, and then they signed it. What's the din? So Shmuel said he has a suffix on it. Tate says she has to get divorced from her second husband to be on the safe side, because maybe it's a possible get. But we need to think and to ask greater people in order to find out. And we went through the whole discussion why that should be so. So far what we came up with is that Shmuel says the halacha is like a very mili leminsu and l'shliach. You can't give a verbal thing over to a shliach, so they don't have the ability to give the shlichus over to somebody else if he told them write it. But then the last thing we mentioned is that maybe there's a possibility that there's a case of that this would be a case called Omer Imru, where he to begin with delegates them not the actual writing of the get, only the signing of it. The actual writing of the get, he's saying, you can delegate to somebody else. Imru, tell so-and-so that he should write the get. And we said that we wanted to say then that Rabbi Yossi would agree that that's fine. So fine, Shmuel can say the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and nevertheless, though, depending on how we look at it, whether he intended for them to write the whole get or whether he just intended them to sign it, will affect the question of whether it's a kosher get or not. So you might ask, so me moded Rabbi Yossi for Omer Imru. Does Rabbi Yossi in fact agree that Omer Imru is fine and the get would be okay? Well, it's not. We learn later on in the last parak, Ksav Sofer Ve'ed Kosher. Suppose you have a get where a sofer wrote the get. He also signed as one of the Eidim, and then another Eid signed. Kosher. Such a get is kosher because the fact is you have two signatures on it. But Rabbi Yirmiyah says that's not what it means. When we say Ksav Sofer, it means that, no, sorry, but Ksav Sofer Ve'ed Kosher, on the face of it, would just mean that there's only one signature at the bottom of it. The Sofer wrote the whole get, and then he didn't sign, only one Eid signed. And the question is, how could that be? You have to have two signatures on a get. Therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Chasam Sofer Sheninu. What we really mean is that the sofer, besides writing the get, also signed it as an aid, and then another aid accompanied him. Ve'amar of Chista, Masmisin Mani Rabbi Yehi, Dama Milu Lemimsu, and L'Shoyah. And Rav Chista says that Mishnah, which says that such a thing is kosher, would be according to Rav Yossi. That milu lemimsur on l'shliach. So a person can't sign a get unless he directly heard from the husband that he's supposed to be signing it. You can't tell somebody else to do it.
There's
first a matter of writing the get. The problem is, Isak Daitch Moded Rabbi Yossi for Omer Imrus. Now, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yossi is making that distinction, that Milu Lemimsu and L'Shliach, if you tell them to write it, then they can't delegate it. But Omer Imru, if you tell them, you tell Pliny the sofer to write the get, that's allowed. The problem with that is, Nafik Minei Churba. There can be a problem that develops out of this. You could have a situation where you would think the get is kosher and really it's not. Namely, the zimnin the amalo the shnayim imru the sofer v'yichtav or the plenty of v'yachtavu. Suppose then the husband tells two people, imru, you tell the sofer to write or the plenty of v'yachtavu. Also, you tell two other people to sign. So until now we were talking about the scenario that the same people he's telling are the ones he wants to sign the get. Now we're talking a different case. We're talking about where he's telling them, you arrange for three other people. No, you don't even be involved in writing. Your job is only to go and tell the sofer and the edim. Well, two shluchim, actually, yeah. However, then what happens is, Mishum Kisufa de Sofer, but because of the embarrassment of the Sofer, they're going to say to themselves, wait a minute, what does he think? The Sofer is not kosher to sign as an aid on the get. Therefore, Chayshi, Mishum Kisufa de Sofer Chayshi, they're going to be concerned about the embarrassment of the Sofer. So they're going to say to only one of those aidim, he told them to delegate to one Sofer and two aidim. Instead, they're going to say, well, why shouldn't the sofer himself be able to sign? They're just going to go and tell the sofer to write the get and also sign as one of the eidim, right? And then another one. And the problem is, the husband didn't say that, so it's going to be possible to get because that's not what he wanted. So it's not according to his das. So if you say that Reb Zerisi says Omer Imru is also possible, no problem. You're not going to have such a case in the first place, because Omer Imru also would be possible. There's no case where you can tell one group of people, tell the sofer and the edim to write. But if you're going to say that Omer Imru is allowed, then you're going to have you could have that situation. Yeah. The answer is, given the Omer Ma'at Kosher V'Loi Ta'osa Ken B'Yisrael, since we say we're going to have further down on the Amud that such a get with Chasam Sofer is kosher, but it should not be done like that among the Jewish people with the Sofer plus one other person signing it. Lishchiach. So it's not common for that to be
kosher, though.
We're not talking about the case where. No, where he explicitly said I want three other people involved and only two of them, that's a different matter. We're talking about the ordinary case of Chasam Sofer, where the Sofer signed as one of the Edim, and then he didn't specifically say Imru or Sofer or Edim, etc. He just said he wanted to get written.
Right.
So he says to two people write to get and sign it. In the event the Sofer ends up being one of the Edim. We're saying, and we'll say further down on the Amud, such a thing is kosher. Such a thing should not be done among the Jewish people for reasons.
Kosher, which is 2 minutes ago, he said it's not the das of the
bar. Because that's what I'm saying. There's two different cases. There's where he specifically said, "I want one person writing and two people signing," versus where he didn't specifically say that.
So this case
that we're talking about, kosher v'loi ta'osa ken b'Yisrael, means that he didn't specifically say how many people he wants involved. Nevertheless, the sofer should not sign as one of the edim, as we'll talk about later. The case is that we're talking about over here. We are talking about the same case we were talking about where he says Imru will say for the yichter of plenty of the yachtimu. That in that case, to say such a thing in the first place, it's true. Maybe Omer Imru is kosher. We're arguing, but like to offer those Yisrael, that's not the right thing to do. It's not something that should be done. Therefore, it's not common that it's kosher if he says, again, he says, I want you to go and tell the sofer to write Imru, and I want you to go and tell the Edom to sign. If they do exactly that, then it's kosher. However, therefore, it's not common such a case in the first place, and therefore we don't have to make a gzeira against it.
And we don't want him to do that, or it shouldn't be.
We don't want him to do it for reasons that we'll talk about further on the Omud, so it's not a common case. How about another case, though? Couldn't you have a case where he says to two people, you tell the sofer to write the get, you yourself sign it, not you tell two other people to sign it, but you yourself sign it. Again, you're going to have a similar case. He spoke to two people. He said, I want you to tell the sofer to write. However, you guys yourselves should be the one signing it. Then they go and say again, why should the sofer be left out? Let him be one of the edim. And again, the husband didn't say like that. So again, you'd have a problem of it being a possible get. Again, why aren't we worried about why are we allowing Omer Imru when it could lead to that? Amri said, answered Hanami Kosher V'Loi Ta'osahu. That's also a case where we tell the Edim, tell the sofer to write and you yourself sign. It's also something that Kosher V'Loi Ta'osahu. It's not the right thing to do. Okay, fine, that works according to the opinion. Again, further down on the Amud, we're going to have a machlokas on this. That one opinion is this is kosher v'loi ta'asa, so then fine, we're not worried that such a thing is going to happen in the first place if we say that it's really not allowed, but the evidence is kosher. What about according to the opinion that it's kosher and you're actually allowed to do such a thing?
Still hard to understand why it's
so social. Because the fact is, what's the problem? He said to the Edim, you tell the sofer to write, you yourself sign it, and they do exactly that. The sofer writes it, and the two of them sign it. So as long as they didn't change from his instructions, then it's fine. But it's still according to one opinion, like to us, it's nice. Yeah. Ella, so no, we can't say that. We can't say that in any way Rabbi Yossi would agree that Umru is kosher, because you still have cases where that could lead to trouble. Ella, we have to say Rabbi Yossi Tazi Omer. Rabbi Yossi must have said two different dinim. That number one, you tell three people, as we said in our Mishnah, you say to three people tshnu, give the get. Or he says imru. In all those cases, Rabbi Yossi would say that it's possible. So yes, he would say that. No, the only case where it would be kosher, according to Rabbi Yossi, is if he directly tells the people, he directly tells the sofer, and he directly tells the Eidim. No delegating. So Rabbi Yossi is saying those two dinim. Shmuel agrees with him on one aspect and disagrees with him on the other.
Which is one he agrees on.
So he agrees then that he agrees milu leminster on l'shliach. He disagrees on omer imru. So therefore, so that's why in the case we had in the original case that we started talking about yesterday, where he says to two people, Kisvut no get l'ishti, and they go delegate it to the sofer, is it kosher or not? If we according to Rabbi Yossi, tach would be possible because he holds omer imru is possible in the end, we're saying. But Shmuel doesn't have to agree with that. Omer imru might be fine, but the question is, when he specifically said write and give it, what did he mean by write it? Did he mean sign it, or did he mean write it out yourselves? If he meant write it out yourselves, then you've got a problem with merely lemim su'an l'shliach, and therefore it's no good. If you just meant sign it, it's omer imru, then that would be a kosher to get. Maybe you like to also came to Israel, maybe it's not the right thing to do, but it would still be a kosher to get. Kufa, getting back to what we said before, Amar Shmuel, Amar Rabbi, Halacha Rabbi Yossi, Dama Milu Lemim Su'an L'Shliach, and Shmuel had said the Halacha is, according to Rabbi Yossi, that Milu Lemim Su'an L'Shliach, and therefore that you have, if you delegate something to the Shliach, they can't delegate it to something to somebody else. Okay. Amar L'Fan of Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi.
Milu Lemim Su'an L'Shliach means to give a
shout
to talk to other people.
No, so that's the thing. That's the distinction between we're making that between omer imru. Where it's omer imru, where he says to the shliach, I want you to tell somebody else. You tell the sofer and you tell the edim. That Shmuel would say is allowed. Maybe like also can be as well, but it's allowed. Rabbi Yossi would say it's possible. Shmuel is saying milu lememsu in the shliach in the sense that if you told the edim, the shliach rather, to actually do something, but you didn't give them something tangible. This is how Rashi learns, or we've learned before, that this is how Rashi learns, milu lememsu in the shliach. If you gave him a tangible object, such as a get, then fine, shliach is a shliach. Then he can delegate it, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. If he gets sick, he can send it with another shliach, who can send it with another, etc. But if you just tell him verbally to do something, then he doesn't have the ability to pass that on to somebody else.
Even if you tell him to do something and then pass it on to somebody else?
No, so that's the thing. If you tell him to pass it on, if you tell him to tell somebody else to pass it on, that's omer imru. That Shmuel was saying is fine. But if you tell him to do it, you tell him write the get, or sign the get, as the case may be, and he goes and has somebody else do it, then it would be possible. Because milu lemim su'an l'shliach. Okay, so anyway, so Shmuel is quoting this in the name of Rebbe. Amar l'fan of Rav Shimon Bar Rabbi. So Rav Shimon the son of Rebbe, asked his father, look, we have the mayor and we have Chanina Ish Oinoi from the Mishnah that we had yesterday, that Rav Meir had said in the Mishnah that if you say to three people, Tznu get l'ishti, then they're based in and therefore they can delegate it. And Rav Chanina Ish Oinoi had quoted the same thing in the name of Rav Akiva. So they're arguing with Rabbi Yossi. Ma ra Rabbi, le mahalacha ka Rabbi Yossi. So what reason does Rabbi see to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? Omalo, so Rabbi answers him, shsoik, my son, be quiet. Lo ra isa, Rabbi Yossi. You know what? You never saw Rabbi Yossi. Your molo ra isa, if you had a chance to see him, you would know why I'm passing it like him. Because nimuka imo, because he always has his reasons with him. Whenever he always has his reasons and his explanations. Rashi says that losses time the whole dvarav show you the yashiv at dvarav. Whenever he said something, he always had a good explanation and a good understanding of why this is his shita. So therefore, that's why I hold like him. So Tanya, as we learn in a bride, so Isi ben Yehuda Hayamon Shvachan Chachachamim, Isi ben Yehuda used to list off the greatnesses, the great qualities of the Chachamim. Each one had their own unique quality. The Rambam, by the way, mentions someplace, I think, in Pirush HaMishnayos or something, I think in Pirkei Avos, the various kinds of speech that there are. There's speech which is a mitzvah, and the polar opposite is the speech which is an aveira, and then there's various kinds of speech in there that's better or worse or more optional, less optional, or whatever. One of them is like this, mentioning the praises of the Chachamim in order that people should learn from their mitzvahs. That's one of the better kinds. It's not a mitzvah, but it's high up there. So it's a kind of mitzvah. It's not directly a mitzvah like the mitzvah of Saint Krishna or whatever. But it leads to mitzvahs basically. So Reb Meir Chacham v'Sofer. Reb Meir is a Chacham and a Sofer. Chacham in the simple sense means that he was wise. And a sofer means that he was an expert. He was an expert sofer. We learned in Sota a couple of months ago that he was a sofer. And when Rabbi Shmuel points out to him that be careful if you leave out even one letter or something, then you're gonna cause problems. And in Ruchnius, he says, don't worry, I'm extra careful with it, even to make sure that a fly doesn't change the shape of the letter or whatever. The Gemara tells us in Megillah that one coming close to Purim now. The Gemara tells us in Megillah that one time Reb Meir was in a place where there was no Megillah. And he wrote one out by heart. The different things we find throughout Shas and throughout Midrashim that Reb Meir is always known to be an expert sofer. So Chacham the sofer. Interesting thing, I think Ben Yehoyada says that the special mila in it is a Chacham means somebody who's very sharp in learning, who's able to come up with very, very sharp novel ideas. A Chacham is somebody who has a good memory. Oh no, it's the other way around. Sorry, a Chacham is somebody who has good sharp ideas. A sofer, like Reb Meir, who has a good memory, is somebody like that who has a photographic memory or whatever. Usually, those two things don't go together. To have a good memory and to have creativity, he had both. Rabbi Yehuda Chacham l'chshiyutze. Rabbi Yehuda is a Chacham when he wants to be. So what does that mean? A number of different explanations. Rashi says it means when he wanted to be patient and to think through the matter carefully, then he was a Chacham. The Marsha says that doesn't sound like praise for him. No, that doesn't sound like praise for him. So he quotes from the Aruch a different explanation, that it means we learn the famous story in the Sefer Shabbos with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon talking about what the Romans are doing, that they ended up appointing him Rosh HaMedaber Mechol Mokom. He's the chief speaker everywhere. Whenever the Chachamim were gathered together, he's always the first one to speak. So he's Chacham L'chiyurte in the sense that whenever he wants to start speaking, he has the floor, and he's able to be a Chacham. Tosfos says, going based on what Rashi said, that the idea is that Rabbi Yehuda, Reb Meir, we said, was very sharp. But because of that, not always did everybody understand what he's after. We learned in a few places of Chas that for that reason, many times the halacha is not like it, because the yochel chaverim of lama v'aslo tzaita, his friend, his chaverim couldn't figure out what he's after. Rabbi Yehuda, is more patient about going and delving into the thing carefully and coming to a conclusion, and therefore, in that sense, he's chacham l'chiyurte, he's able to exceed Reb Meir's chachma when he wants to patiently delve into the thing.
Chiyurte
means also when he wants.
As much as he needs to be?
Not as much as he needs to be. I mean, why? I
understood.
Maybe. Okay. And Chassidus talks about an idea also that Rotten is higher than Chachma. So Chacham l'chiyurte, when he wants to draw down his Rotten, then he's able to use that to bring out his Chachma. And one other explanation Ma'arat Chayyus says is usually you have a person, maybe a Chacham, but maybe a great Chacham, but you know, if conditions are unsettled or whatever, then he's not able to focus, and he's not able to show his Chachma. Reb Yehuda had the quality that no matter what the circumstance, he's able to block them all out and still remain a Chacham. He doesn't give an example, but whatever. I mean, you could imagine, you know, if times are hard or whatever, a person doesn't have a chance to focus, and yeah. Reb Taufin Galshala goes in. Reb Taufin is like a heap of nuts. The Rashi quotes from other sort of nuts. And a heap of nuts, you pull one out and they all start rolling off. The same way you'd ask Reb Taufin a question, and he'd bring him from Pesukim and Medrash and Mishnah and Halacha and Agadah, all everything flying everywhere. But yeah, like, yeah. Rabbi Shmuel chaynos chaynos meyuzenes. Rabbi Shmuel is like a well-stocked store, meaning, Rashi says, like a store, like a wine store, for example. The storekeeper doesn't have, when people come to buy wine, he doesn't have to tell them, wait, I have to go get it from the storehouse. The same thing. If a person wants to learn from Rabbi Shmuel, it's right away, he knows it right away on the spot.
Ready?
Yeah. Tosfos brings a possibility that mizuyenes maybe meloshon mazon, food, like you can always find the food you need there, or meloshon zion, it's well equipped. Rav Akiva oitzu bolum. Rav Akiva is an orderly storehouse, a divided up storehouse. So Rashi again quotes from other sort of nothing. When Rav Akiva would learn, it would be like when he would learn whatever is available, whatever is rebbeim or teaching, doesn't matter what area of Torah it is, he would absorb it. And he'd go and learn it. He'd go and learn it all together in order that he doesn't forget it. Later on, he would go and arrange it into logical categories and logical genres and whatever, and have it like each thing filed away in its right place. And then when he taught a Talmidim, he would do the same kind of thing. The Sifra, Sifri, the Gemara and Sanhedrin that mentions the Sifra, Sifri, the Mishnayos, the Brises and whatever, all of them go back. They're all, each one is according to a different Tana among the Talmudim of Rabbi Akiva, because he arranged them all in something like their present form and taught them to his Talmudim. So like he would really just take every, shovel everything in, and afterwards divide it into logical categories and sections. That's Otsubolim. He had an very orderly way. I saw, by the way, an interesting thing. It's brought in Sfarim that's altogether, Rav Akiva has mentioned several hundred times throughout Shas, altogether in 375 places the halacha is like him. The gematria of the word Otsubolim is 375, to be meramis now. Rav Yechon ben Nuri is kupas haroichlin. Rav Yechon ben Nuri is like a spice dealer's like a spice dealer's basket. So what roichlin means peddlers, but like they would go around selling spices and perfumes and things like that. So Rashi explains then that a peddler comes to town, and whatever kind of spices or whatever kind of fragrances you ask him for, he has it available. The same thing, Rabbi Yechon and Nuri, you ask him something in Tanakh, he could answer right away, in Gemara and Medrash and so forth, he had all these things available. So the difference is, Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva was saying just he got in everything together in a jumble and afterwards arranged them in logical categories. Rabbi Yechon and Nuri wasn't like that, it was more like, I guess the idea is he learned from the Hatzila as separate categories. But he had them all readily available. The Mefarshim talk about that maybe also it means that Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri has less than Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is like a whole storehouse. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is just like a peddler's basket. You have a lot in it, but there's only a small quantity of each thing. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah kupa shabasamim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is like a basket of spices. The difference is, Rashi says again that a roichel has everything in its own little packet because he needs to right away. Somebody asks him for something, he right away needs to pull it out. A kupa shabasamim is not necessarily as neatly organized. Basically, Mishnah Rav Elazar ben Yaakov kav v'naki. The Mishnah, the teachings of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov are kav. They're a small amount v'naki, but they're clean in the sense that Rashi says he didn't teach as much as his chaverim. But whatever he says is naki, the halacha is always like him. There's a good deal of discussion whether this only applies in the Shias or also in Brises, also complicated by the fact that it seems there were at least two Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, so which one we're talking about over here is not so certain. Anyway, in a few places, Rishonim bring from Rabbeinu Hananel that it's also Tav v'naki, Tav v'gematria 102, because there are 102 places in Shas where the halacha is like him. One of the Mephoreshim also says an interesting thing on it. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim, the famous Gemara, that a person always has to be careful to speak Beloshon Nekiyah, using clean language. We see the Torah goes out of its way and uses extra words, Asher Lo Tahora, instead of Tmeya, for example, in order to use Loshon Nekiyah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov then had the ability to use Kav, short to the point language, and still have it be Nekiyah. Rabbi Yossi always has his reasons with him, as we said before. Rav Shimon Toichen Habri Moitzi Kima, Rav Shimon grinds a lot and only gives out a little. So what does that mean? That doesn't sound like an advantage. Tana, Meshakeach Kima, it means he only forgot a little bit. Umasha Moitzi, and what he let go of, meaning what he forgot. And Moitzi Ela Subin, all he left out, all he forgot is the Subin, like the bran, the stuff that the Halacha does not like it anyway. But he kept all the good stuff. V'chein Omer Rav Shimon the Talmidim, and thus we find Rav Shimon saying to his Talmidim, Bonai, Shnu Midosai, learn my Torah, Shemi Dosai Trumas Mitrumas Midos of Shurab Akiva, because my Midos are a Truma of a Truma of Rav Akiva's Midos. In other words, I have the best of the best. In Hayom Yom, it's brought that one time when Rav Moshe, the son of the Alter Rebbe, was between 8 and 11 years old, and also 7 years later when the Tana Tzedek was the same age, they were learning, both of them, it happened, they were learning this Gemara, and not sure what Rashi translates over here, Shnu Midos and Lindu Torah, learn my Torah. On the other hand, maybe Midos means exactly what it sounds like, to follow my Midos. And the Alter Rebbe walks in and says that actually it's both. The whole basis of the Torah is Midos Torah. Even the punishments in the Torah are meant as a Midos Torah, so to get the person right on the, back on the right path.
So the most important is not
Midos. In that sense, but that's what we're saying. That's the advantage of Rav. So those are the milos of the Chachamim. But in any case, though, the point is that Rabbi Yosi Nimuko Yimai, and therefore Rabbi says that's a reason to pass in halacha like Rabbi Yosi, even when you have two other Tanoim again.
Nimuko Yimai more than anybody else.
Apparently, yes. Because the idea would be, in other words, the other Tanoim, when they said halacha, sometimes it would just be, okay, this is what I have for Kabbalah from my Rebbe. Do I know the reason? No, but this is what I learned from my Rebbeim. Whereas Rabbi Yosi would always have a logical reason to explain why it's the right thing.
He was
one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Gufa, getting back.
Don't say the same thing about Rabbi Akiva. Knowledge was only Rabbi Akiva, but he didn't have a reason for everything.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We're talking. I mean, many of the Chachamim that we're listing over here are themselves the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Not all of them. Rabbi Taufan is not. Rabbi Elazar ben Azalia is not. But many of them are Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. Hey, maybe Nimuko Yimai also, but I mean, yeah, we do usually have the rule. So, okay. Good. For getting back to what we said before, we said we said that if a person says to two people that they should tell a third, fourth, and fifth person, tell the third person the sofer to write it, and tell the fourth and fifth people to sign the get, that it is a kosher to get. However, such a thing should not be done. Omalei Ula Rav Nachman, Vahamilu Rav Nachman Ula, so Ula says to Rav Nachman, or others say Ula Rav Nachman says to Ula, Ma'acha B'kosher Amaylai Chosu Zayt Yisrael. If it's a kosher again, what's the problem? Why are we saying Hatzila it shouldn't be done? Omalei Chayshinun Shematisko Edim. Because we have to be Choshish, what if the woman goes and hires false Edim, that these two Edim then are going to falsely say that the husband said that you, the sofer, and you two, the Edim, should sign the get. We don't want that to happen. The question is, when we chashin, are we worried about the thing? V'atanya, we learn in a b'raita, Edim achsumim achsdei mekach v'arget isha, Edim who are signed on a document for the purchase of a field, or on a get, lo'ichosho chachamim l'dover leva. Chachamim are not concerned about this kind of thing, that they might be false Edim. We recognize the signatures, we're able to do kiyum shtoris, but we're not worried that maybe they were perjured, maybe they were hired falsely. The answer is, ma'isilei avdi dibura ka'avdi. It's true, we're not worried that Edim are going to go so far as to say Edus Sheker, or to sign an Edus Sheker. However, they might be willing to tell somebody else. They might be willing, falsely, to tell somebody else that this is what the husband said when really he didn't. Because they themselves are not the Edim. So they figure they're getting away with it, basically. How about the other case? We had the second case where he says to two people, you tell the sofer that he should write and you yourself sign. So that was the other scenario we mentioned at the top of the Amud. By the way, Bechlal, with the Tosfos asks earlier in the sugya a basic question about this whole issue. If you have a person telling Edim to tell other Edim to sign in the previous case, forget about all the issues with false Edim or whatever. Isn't there an issue of aid and p'aid? An aid is not allowed to testify on hearsay. If like this, the husband didn't directly tell them to sign, forget about the question of false edim or not. You can't testify based on your
sense.
But like this, in order for them to sign the get, they have to have heard from the husband that he wants them to sign the get, is the question. So Tosfos themselves gives the answer, although Achronim have a bit of a hard time understanding what Tosfos is saying, that basically the Aegis was given to the original, the last set of Aegis. The original ones are just the Shluchim who are telling them to sign on it. So it's not really a matter of Aegis Mipi, it's rather a matter of a Shliach delegating to an Aegis. Okay, like I said, Mephoshim have a bit of a hard time understanding, so how does that help anything? A couple of other answers they give. One of them is that maybe this whole business of aid mipi aid doesn't apply to written documents. Maybe it only applies to verbal aids. Yes, you can't have an aid can't come to Beis Din and say that Reuven and Shimon told me that so and so did this aveira or what have you, or lent him money or whatever. But when it comes to writing, then maybe the rules are different.
Same
principle as, for example, look, I mean, Midaraisa and the PM, the Lemma Peak stuff, Midaraisa, there's really no such thing as written Aedus anyway. It's verbal Aedus and nothing. The whole concept of Aedim signing a star and that having validity, we learned back in Subas Commission Nefkara, it wasn't the Beis Din, that it has strength as if they were already interrogated and based in. Pretty much all of that is Midrabanan. So therefore, the rules may be different. Amal Shnayim Imru L'Sofer V'Yichdeh V'Atem Chasomu, that if he says to the two people, you tell the Sofer to write, and then you yourselves are signing it. So now, okay, we don't have to worry about the case where she might hire false Aedim, because they themselves are signing it, and they're not going to do that unless they heard it explicitly from the husband. We just said they're not going to sign falsely. So, Rav Chista Amakasha V'Leiteh Aser, Rav Chana Amakasha V'Teh Aser. So we have a machlokes. Everybody agrees it's kosher, but again, is it something that you shouldn't do, the chatchila, or is it something you could even do? Maybe you shouldn't do it because you might confuse it with the previous case, or maybe you should do it because the fact is there's nothing to worry about over here. Rav Nachman also, so that's Rav Chista and Rabbi Balachana, also Rav Nachman on a kosher v'leite also, Rav Sheshes on a kosher v'leite also, another pair of Amaroyim who have the same machloikas, and in the following generation, Rabbi on a kosher v'leite also, Rav Yosef on a kosher v'leite also. So three different pairs of Amaroyim in each in their own generation who have the same machloikas. The Ikka Da'afich Lahu, there are some who say, who flip them around. Which ones? Rashi says it means Rabbi and Rav Yosef's opinion. We just said that the first version we had was Rabba said the loy te'ase, and Rav Yosef said the te'ase, that you could l'chatchila do it. Others flip it around and said Rav Yosef is saying the one that loy te'ase, and Rabba is saying te'ase. The Nachmina, that would be usually the halacha is like Rabba against Rav Yosef, so that would affect the question of who the halacha is like. There are other Rishonim. I think the Rashba says that actually this Ikadapachu means in all three pairs of Amaroyim, that a different version flips around who said what. Another case, the Mishnah said, Omala Sara Kisbu get, if he tells 10 people to write a get, so we said that one of them has to write the get, two of them have to sign. But if he said Kulchem, then all of them have to be involved in the signing. So, turn it up on an Omala Sara Kisbu get to Tnuli Ishti. If the person says to 10 people, write a get and give it to my wife, it means Echad Kosevayde Kulan, it means, like we said in the Mishnah, one of them can write on behalf of all of them. The fact that he said kisvu get doesn't mean he meant all 10 of them to be involved. He just meant among you, somebody should be involved in writing the get and giving it. Kulchem ksevu, but if he says all of you write it, you can't have 10 people write a get. Therefore, it means echad kosev maimon kulam, means one of them has to write the get in the presence of the rest of them. Suppose he says, hey, lichu get l'ishti, if he says, bring the get to my wife, be a shliach elacha, then again, echad melech haydei kulam, it means one of them can bring it on behalf of all of them, they don't all have to go with it. But if he says all of you bring it, then it means that one of them carries the get and takes it along together with all of them. Now they had a question. Mona oisen mabu. What happens now? So we have the case where he just says to 10 people write, versus we had where he says all of you write. How about another possible case? What if the people are standing over there and he starts listing Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. I want you to. So now, on the one hand, you could argue that he means that he listed them all by name. He listed them all by name. Necessarily, therefore, that means he wants all of them. Or maybe not. The fact is, he didn't say Kulchem. So maybe he just says, among you, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., somebody should be involved. But not necessarily all of you. So, Rav Huna Amar Mona Einik Kulchem. Rav Huna says it's not like Kulchem. So therefore, it's not like Kulchem. Rav Yechon, Mishram Ablaza, Jamin Ruma Amar Mona Hareu Kulchem. I'm on a pop-up, likely, actually, they're not arguing. The difference is whether he listed all of them, all 10 of them, or whether he only listed some of them. Now, what is that difference? Amri lo lahai gisa, v'amri lo lahai gisa. The Amoraim themselves argued the possibilities. You could take that distinction either way. So what does that mean? You could take the distinction either way. Rashi over here, it's a little bit complicated because the Rashi that we have over here actually has embedded in it a correction from the Maharshal. So what we have in front of us in Rashi is not exactly the same as not the original, not necessarily the original wording that Rashi wrote, or at least not what they had in older prints of Shas. Anyway, the possibilities are like this. You could say, if he lists all of them, it means he wants every single one of them to be involved in writing or signing or what have you. If one is missing, it's not kosher. On the other hand, if he only listed some of them, then maybe it means he only wants those guys.
He says Kulchem?
No, he didn't say Kulchem. If he said Kulchem, there's no question. But if he said Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, but he did not mention Yisachar, Zvulun, etc., maybe it only means he wants those four.
If he contradicts and says Shimon, Reuven, Levi, Yehuda, and then he says Kulchem,
Then we would, that might get into the question, Tfois Loshen Rissen, Tfois Loshen Acheron, whether we go according to the first or second, I don't know, but Pashtos, if he says Kulchem at any point, then unless he changes his mind and says, you know what, forget it, not Kulchem, only you and you, then yeah, we would have to, yeah. Anyway, so Rashi talks about that if he only mentions some of them, then maybe it only means he wanted both. Maybe he originally intended to list all of them, but then he realized it's too much of a hassle, so he just said, you know what, just you guys. And then in that case, actually, what it would mean, according to the Marshal's Haggah, it would mean that actually Rashi would say, even among the ones he listed, maybe you could argue not even all of them have to sign. Maybe he changed his mind and decided, you know what, even though I started listing, fine, I just mean I want among you, two of you should be involved in signing. Or you could say the other way around. If he mentions some of them, it means Dafka, the fact that he went to the trouble of listing the names shows that he wants those people, Dafka, to write it or to sign it or whatever. Whereas if he lists all of them but without saying Kulchem, then all he means is that I'm addressing all of you. I'm addressing each of you by name, but not necessarily that I want that I need that all of you should be involved in signing it. You could argue the point either way. Asking Rabbi Yehuda Begitta, Rabbi Yehuda made a takana when it comes to Begitta the Kulchem, the Kulchem Ksoivu. Rabbi Yehuda made a takana. If you have a person says, and a person is saying in the presence of many people that he wants to get written, and Rashi says the concern is, what if he says Kulchem? And then you're going to have not all of them are going to sign, and you're going to have problems. So therefore, he made a takana that he said you should say Ksoivu oi Kulchem o Kochad Mechad o Kochad Mechad Minchon. Write it either all of you or each one of you individually. Or he should say, sign it, whether it's all of you or whether it's only two of you. And the same thing, if he's talking about bringing the get, either all of you should bring it, or any one of you individually. Chad b'chad means one or one. So when it comes to signing, you need two. When it comes to writing it or delivering it, you only need one. The point is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you should always make sure then to explicitly say that I don't care if all of you do it, I don't care if only one or two, as the case may be, do it, as long as it gets done, basically. However, Amar Rava, the problem with that? What happens if the person cuts off his word? He doesn't say the full thing. What if he says, you're saying that he should say either all of you or any individual. What if he only says either all of you and doesn't finish the sentence? Then you're going to need to vacillate fully. You're still going to have a possible case of a possible debt. If one of them is not present when they write it, or one of them doesn't sign, or one of them isn't involved in the delivery or whatever, it's still going to be possible. Ella, I'm a rabbi. No, rather the takana should be that he just says, don't use the word kolchan at all. Ksovu kolchan minchan. Any one of you should write the get. Chasomu kolchan minchan. Any two of you should sign the get. Ogu the kolchan minchan, and any one of you should deliver the get. So don't even use the word kulchain at all, and that way we won't have any problems. Hadron alachayim. Since we've been talking about delegating the writing of a get, making a shliach to write the get, deliver it, or whatever. So continuing on that topic, actually we mentioned before that the Rashi holds that this parak comes before the previous one. Mishnah says, Misha Ochse Kurdiyakus, somebody who was seized by Kurdiyakus, as we'll learn in the Gemara, that's something that affects it, a shed that affects the person when he drank too much fresh wine. So yes, so the many people want to say that the word Kurdiyakus is related to the word cardiac, and not in the sense of heart disease, but in the sense of like if you think of the heart, as the center of a person's feelings and emotions and whatever that it means. Somebody who's got like heart confusion, like mental confusion, we would say. I think I was going to explain that actually Kurdiyakus is the name of a shed. I've seen different other possibilities that people want to say of various possible words that Kurdiyakus might come from. Anyway, that's the bottom line, what it means. What it means in modern terms, also no two people agree on it. I've seen people argue that maybe it's delirium tremens, which sometimes a person gets when they're an alcoholic, when they've been drinking too much, or it might just be a person is really drunk, whatever. Anyway, but Omar, during that time, he says,
fresh wine isn't just great.
No, not fresh as in, well, first of all, maybe actually, but it could be like so.
Fresh
so
wine.
No. When it was first freshly squeezed. I mean, the Gemara calls it chamra chabta, which literally means new wine. So
No.
I mean, in halacha, grape juice is also considered wine. No, but so first of all, it could be. First of all, then kurdiyakus might be like a sugar high or something. It might be like he drank too much of it and the sugar overwhelmed him. So maybe it's like I don't know, maybe like a diabetic coma or some such thing. Who knows? Or maybe chamra chabta means okay, you know, it is alcoholic, but it still has the bubbles in it. You know, they didn't have a way of making sparkling wines like they do now. You know, you'd have it bubbles for a while, and then afterwards the bubbles all evaporate, and you have a still wine. So maybe it's you know, the guy's drinking it while it's still bubbly. Maybe it has more of an effect on him. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, but Omar, and he says during that time, kids will get leashed. He write a get for my wife. What he said doesn't count for anything because his das is not stable right now. Yeah. What about the other way around? Omar kids will get leashed. But also kuriyakus. What if he says write a get for my wife while he's still healthy? But also Kurdiyakus, then he got affected by Kurdiyakus because of Amaloytik Tzvenu, and then during the Kurdiyakus arrest, during the Kurdiyakus attack, he says, because of Amaloytik Tzvenu, he says, don't write it, ain't Dvar of Akhurim Klum. And what he said at the end doesn't count for anything. Same thing, he has no das. Das, not settled, whatever. Another case, Nishtatik, not a person who has Kurdiyakus, just a regular person who got sick and became mute, was unable to speak because of it. And people ask him, should we write a get for your wife? And he nodded his head. I mean, yes. Then we have to test him three times. We have to ask him things. The Rashi mentioned it briefly over here. The Gemara talks about it in greater detail later on the Bayin Ein Aleph, that you ask him a series of questions to establish, is he still of sound mind? We have to be, different before we talk about the possibility. Are we talking about just it's because he became sick and mute that we're concerned that he may have lost his das? Or is it just the muteness itself? We have to already be concerned about that might have affected his das. Either way, we test him to see. Maybe. Could be. Whatever it is, we test him with a series of questions to make sure he knows what's yes and what's no. if, three times, im omra lav lav al heinein. If he says on something which you would expect him to know it, what? No, not says. He nods his head or shakes his head, as the case may be. Well, omra doesn't mean he said. It means that it means he nodded or shook his head. Yeah. Also, later on in the Gemara, later on, we're going to talk about in a few days. We're going to talk about what about if he can write? Is that acceptable? Yeah. Anyway, so if he says or indicates on something which the answer would be expected to be no, he says no, and on something yes, he says yes. Good. Then it means he's still in his right mind. Hareli yustav will be it. So he can write again and give it. This kind of thing, by the way, throughout halacha, there's various cases in halacha where you have to check a person's mental state. This is the ground rules are right here, and therefore the Rambam, for example, always describes it as whenever you have a situation where you have to check a person's das for any reason, you check them out the same way as you check in connection with gittin. This kind of test is valid everywhere in halacha. So the Gemara starts off, my kudiyakus, what is kudiyakus? Amashmul, the nachse chamra chadta de ma'atzarta. It means he was bitten by new wine from the wine press. Bitten in a sense, like Rashi says, he drank it and it affected him. Again, what do we mean by chamra chadta? Do we mean it's grape juice? Do we mean it's sparkling wine? Whatever, let's see. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. The question is, okay, why doesn't the Mishnah just say straight up, somebody who was bitten or was affected by new wine? The answer is Hokamashmalon the Haruchal Kudiyakushma. Fine, but the Mishnah also wants to inform us, by the way, that the ruach, the shed that causes these symptoms, it actually says a shed that grabs a hold of a person when he's drunk this wine, Kudiyakushma, the name of that shed is Kudiyakus. Never mind after a minute, what do we need to know that? Look, Kameya. You need to know it. If you're going to write a Kameya, as they used to in the old days, in order to put this shed under an oath to leave the person, you need to know what to write. You need to know how to address him. Dear Mr. Kudiyakus, get out of here, yeah. My asvase, what's the remedy for curing this person, either besides the Kameya or in addition to it? Bisrasunka agumre v'chamra marka, red meat, meaning lean meat, roasted on the coals, and weak wine diluted with a lot of water. Amrabaya. So now the Gemara is going to start off over here with a little bit over here. Then the Gemara is going to digress to some other things, and later on at the bottom of some aches and abeis, we're going to return to this topic about this. This is going to be we're going to have a couple of blots over here about remedies in the Gemara. All kinds of medical conditions and all kinds of remedies for them. So it's a very well known. So Marsha asks a basic question: why does Gemara include all this information? Marsha doesn't add really, but the other doesn't add this particular detail. Other Mefarshim point out a very well known thing, which is it goes all the way back at least to the Rishonim, maybe even to the Goyim. You're not supposed to use any of these remedies in the Gemara anyway. They may not be effective nowadays, and therefore there's an issur actually to use them because you're going to use them and then they're not going to work, and you're going to think that the Gemara does that. You're going to think Chum didn't know what they're talking about. So that being
the
Marsha asks the basic question: why are they here in the Gemara anyway? No, so that's what I'm saying. The Marsha doesn't really ask the question, given that we can't use them. He's not focusing on that angle of it. I'm saying you really have two questions: A, why are they in the Gemara Bichlal? And B, a separate question is what happens after they're no longer usable. So as far as why they're in the Gemara, actually, Marsha's question is really like this: the Gemara tells us in Brachas, also in Psachim, that there used to be a Sefer Refuah. There used to be a book of medicines. Who wrote it? There's different opinions among the Rishonim, but anyway, Chizkiyahu hid it away. The Mishnah in Psachim tells us that there's six things that Chizkiyahu did, three of which the Chachamim agreed with him, three of them the Chachamim agreed with him, three not. One of the out of the ordinary things that he did, which the Chachamim agreed with him, is he hid away the Sefer Refuah. So what is the Gemara giving us over here, Sefer Refuah? So Marsha says like this: look, there's obviously no problem in consulting a book that has medicines in order to know cures. The problem is, Chizkiyahu felt that, like this, the Sefer Refuah listed the cures for every possible illness. So therefore, a person is going to come to say, well, then, well, you know, what do I need to Eivishter it for? What do I need to daven for a sick person? I'll just look it up in the big book of Sefer Refuah, and I'll know what to do. And therefore, he hid it away. So now, though, so the Gemara is giving us some of them. It's not giving us all of them. But b'chla, why is the Gemara giving it to us? Giving it to us. Same reason b'chla why Torah Shabbat Peh had to be written down. A slash is Lashem, like we learned last week, because the Torah Shabbat Peh was going to be forgotten. Well, by the same logic, these things had to be written down, or else they're going to be forgotten. And also, Marshall says the point of it was to demonstrate that the Chachamim know that the Chachamim know medicine. Don't think these medicines, these cures, these remedies were known in those days. They would have been things that any doctor would have known, basically. Don't think the Chachamim don't know such things. They do. Haraya, they wrote them down over here.
We have to show that they knew?
Because we have to show that everything, that we have to show that the Torah contains everything. So yes, the Torah contains cures for medical conditions also. However, as far as the fact that they're not usable anymore, okay, but they were usable in the times of the Gemara, so therefore, like Marshall is saying, they had to be recorded. And well, I mean, they also, that there's deeper meanings in many of them also, not all of which we know, but yeah. Omer Abaya. Omer Li Aim, my mother told me, with various places in Shas, the Gemara points, actually in Kedushin, the Gemara points out that this mother was actually his foster mother, because his mother died in childbirth. Well, Shiv Shabbat Yoimah, when a person has a fever, that he got that day, Shimsha literally means the sun, so it means like sunstroke. Bas Yoim, if it's on that same day, Kuzda Demaya, what he should do is he should drink a pitcher of water. Bas Trei Yoim, if it's 2 days, Sikuri, then the remedy for it is bloodletting. Bas Plasa Yoim, if it's been going on for 3 days, then you need the same kind of remedy as for Kudiyakus. Bistra Sunka Agumi, Bchamra Marka, then you need lean meat on the coals and diluted wine. What if it's a fever that's a sunstroke, whatever, that's been going on for quite a while? Then you need something more drastic. You should take a black hen, the liquor shesivative, rip it open shesivative, crosswise, shes the first obviously, I guess. You should shave the patient the middle of his head. The loisve ilave, put this chicken, this cut open chicken on his head, the nimche ilave, and leave it there, ad the misrach until it sticks to his head. Yeah. The linchus velekam maya, then he should go down and stand in the water, ad sabre, until up to his neck. Ad the cholish alma ilave, until the world feels weak to him, meaning he's about to faint. The lemud, then he should swim in the water. The lisev, and he should get out of the water and sit down. The eloi, if not, meaning if you don't have a black chicken available, or if you tried this thing and it doesn't work, leichol kauti, then what you should have the guy do is you should eat leeks. The linchus v'leikom amayat savare, again, he should go down and stand in the water up to his neck, add the cholish almelave until he feels very weak, the lemur, then he should swim, the lislik velasiv, and then he should sit down. So those are the various remedies for fevers or sunstroke or whatever. So in a more general way, Lashimsha for heat, for fever, as we said, bisrasumkia gumri v'chamramaka, you want lean meat roasted on the coals and diluted wine. Latalga, if it's the other way around, if a person has been in the cold and he's caught a chill, then it's the opposite. Bisrashmena agumri v'chamrachaya, then you want fat meat on the coals and undiluted wine. Steinfeld points out in the notes in his Gemara, practically speaking, a person has caught a chill, you want to give him some extra calories, this will help with that. The Gemara tells us a case, Rav Amram Chassidah, ki avim atzarin le bei Reish Kabusa, when the members of the household of the Reish Kabusa would cause him tzar. Rashi says he was a chassid, he was a parush, he was machmer on them, and they were, the Reish Kabusa was like a king among the Jewish people, and his avodim were not always of the best quality. So when they wanted to make life difficult for him, have a magnele atauga. They would make him sleep. Literally, atauga means on the snow, but meaning in a cold place. Now, how do you get a person to sleep in a cold place? So Ben Yehuda, I think it says, what they would do is, let's say, they put him in a room with high humidity and with high up and with very tall windows. He goes to sleep. In the middle of the night, they sneak in, they open up the windows, and by the morning, the place is a sheet of ice. So the next day they asked him, what would you like us to bring you? After all, they have to put on a show that they're not openly going and being his enemies. They have to put on a show of helping him. Omer, so he thinks to himself, Hani, these guys, these Avodim, called Aminah, who made Bechapsi. I know whatever I told them, they're going to give me exactly the opposite. Well, I know since I've caught a chill from these conditions, I'm going to need, like we said, fat meat and undiluted wine and strong wine. So Omalahu biscus sumka gumi b'chamerba. So he tells them I want lean meat on the coals and diluted wine, and they did exactly the opposite. I see the inu biscus shmeina gumi b'chamer chaya. Exactly what he needed. However, apparently this wasn't enough. Shama Yalta, the wife of Reb Nachman, we've learned about, heard about this. So Ma'ayla lelebe masusa, she brought him into the bathhouse to warm up further. Umukmi leb maya debe masusa, they had him stand in the water in the bathhouse. Adem hapchi maya debe masusa v'habu doma, until the water in the bathhouse turned like blood. Rashi says there was so much red from having eaten this meat. From having eaten this meat and drinking this wine, there was so much red sweat oozing out of him that it made the water look bloody. The koi bistre pshiti poshit, and his skin looked like it had round dots on it from the effect of all the extra heat that he had gotten in from the treatment and then sweating it out basically.
Pshiti poshit literally means
like little coins. It means like little round spots, little round spots. Yes.